Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We welcome into the program Dave Archer, of course, analyst for the Atlanta Falcons, as we get ready for the run of the Super Bowl. Morning to you, Dave.
Morning, guys. You guys are always large and in charge, you know?
Is that right? I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Dave.
Doesn't matter where you're broadcasting from, you're large and in charge.
Dave, so we've had a little bit of time to digest and look back on the season. And what was your overall assessment of the Falcons this year?
I think the thing that comes to mind is Hugh probably missed opportunities. You had opportunities to win games late, certainly early in the year. And didn't do that. Defense that was beat up, obviously, because of the injuries and really couldn't find itself until later on in the year. So some missed opportunities to maybe close out some games and win some games that ultimately, as you look at it at the end, you would have been in the postseason if you found a way to scratch out a couple of them and just couldn't do that. And then the middle of the year, the inability of the offense to, you know, to kind of find their way late in games and find a way to win games. There was too many mistakes, whether it was a ball off of somebody's hands or missed blocking assignment from a protection standpoint to give Ryan an opportunity against the Cowboys to get us in position to win that game. There were a number of blown opportunities. So I think that all in all, with all the injuries, and sure, we can blame a lot on the injury, but everybody gets beat up during the year. It's the opportunities you presented, and do you take advantage of them? And Atlanta just didn't do it. And unfortunately, it cost some guys their jobs, and there's going to be some reshuffling on this team.
Talking with Dave Archer about the playoffs and the Falcons and whatnot as we get ready for the Super Bowl here in Atlanta. Dave, one more question about the Falcons, and I do want to ask you a little bit about the playoffs. And as you look at the team and they make all these restructuring in terms of coaches, I mean, they bring in a new special teams coach in Ben Kautwika, obviously a new offensive coordinator, new tight ends coach. They have four current or former head coaches on the staff now. Three former offensive coordinators of the Atlanta Falcons are on the offensive staff in Knapp, Mularkey, and Dirk Cutter, which gives them kind of flying in the face of convention where everybody wants, you know, Matt LaFleur or Zach Taylor or Sean McVay. They went old school to all of this experience.
Well, I think they've kind of leaned on what they know has worked in the past. All these guys have had success calling plays, and I think that you're looking at tweaking pieces of the offense. I don't think there's a restructured job, but this is the number six offense in the league. And so needing to rebuild the offense is not the case. What you need to do is you need to tweak some pieces on the offense, and that's from a protection standpoint. Can you get a little more solid up front? Can you find a way to run the ball with a little bit more power? And can you find a way to run the ball in short yardage situations? That's the offensive side of the football. And certainly Mike Mularkey, I think in his ability to digest and then regurgitate really the power running game to these guys and teach the right way to do it, I think he's going to be a big part of that. And Dirk Cutter has proven he's an outstanding play caller, in an outstanding offense when he was here, when everybody was healthy and rolling in 2012. And certainly this year, the Tampa Bay offense was number three in the league. They do run some up-tempo, which I know people are excited about. That's something he let Matt Ryan do a ton of when he was here with Matt Ryan. And then, of course, Greg Knapp's ability to, having been here now for a year and understands Matt Ryan and has a chance to digest what the personnel looks like. I just think it's a nice blend of a bunch of guys that have a tremendous amount of know-how. Now, we won't know how things play out in the other areas. Obviously, the special teams thing, maybe the message has gotten a little bit old with Keith Armstrong. I think he's an outstanding coach. Coach Gawita comes in, and maybe there's a little bit different message there. Maybe you find a way to get some returns, get some hidden yardage in the special teams area. And, of course, Coach Quinn, that's what his expertise is on the defensive side of the ball. We saw what he was able to do in that stretch run in 2016 when he took over the defense I think, about week 11 and push them into the Super Bowl. So obviously all those tweaks, you're hoping they help. There's a lot of unknowns with those hires you just talked about. Now, we know what McVay can do. But Matt LaFleur as a head coach, I mean, he was a quarterback coach 2 years ago. Zach Taylor was a quarterback coach 2 years ago, or last year. So those are two guys that now are going to have to lead 53 men or add the practice squad into it. That's a completely unknown situation there that you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle because they're a young coach and they've been on good staffs.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Dave. And when you talk about this staff, and we're talking about tweaking the team and everything, when you look at it, especially on the offensive side of the ball, is some of those guys that we're talking about that could potentially move on, are they fixable, or do you look at this as a situation where it's going to be a whole new revamped offense next year on the offensive line?
Well, I don't think they'll do that, Hugh, in revamping the offense simply because of the vernacular and the words that you have to use when you call plays, when you're trying to put things in. Matt Ryan's been there, what, four or five different offensive coordinators in his career. I think that as much as you can keep the jargon or vernacular the same. So as a quarterback, when you come in the line of scrimmage, you've got to make some decisions after you get a play call or after the coach gets through talking to you in your headset. Now you've got to make a decision about what you're going to do. You know, you're going through dummy calls. You're trying to get them to think that something's coming and you're coming with something else, or you're actually changing things, whether it's protection, which way the play is going to go, changing the entire play at the line of scrimmage with a pass play.
Mm-hmm.
All those things have to be able to roll off your tongue, and subsequently all those guys, the other 10 guys, have to be able to absorb that in a few seconds. So if you change everything you're doing, then that makes that tough. That makes that learning curve a much longer, much, much steeper process. And I think that Atlanta's too close to being a good team to do those kind of things. So it's going to be more of a tweak to get the power running game going, teach some different things up front. I thought that's where they lost their way a little bit, was the techniques up front of running the football, those type of things. So I think that's what you're looking at. I don't think it's an overhaul at all.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Dave, and I'm not putting any words in your mouth, but Ryan Schrader, it sounds like he's going to be here, because you're talking about a vernacular. You're not talking about changing the vernacular. You're just talking about helping guys out with technique and things of that nature.
Absolutely. Now, what Ryan Schrader's future looks like, obviously that's something they're going to evaluate pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that's got a lot of play time at this level. It's kind of hard to dismiss a guy that played tackle that didn't play well this year, mm-hmm. but has played well prior to this. Do you cut him with one season under his belt where it was poor? Can you rebuild his confidence? I thought he lost his confidence. He's certainly a player that's played at a high level. He was part of that Super Bowl offensive line that was pretty solid. So mm-hmm. can you get him back to that level?
Talking with Dave Archer here. Dave, let's ask you about the playoffs here. You have the top four seeds left. You can make a case for all four of these teams based on, you know, their body of work this year, you know, who they have at quarterback, what kind of running game they have, their defense. Everybody's got a case to be made to be here in Atlanta. Is this a toss-up in these two games, in your opinion, broadly, or are there favorites like the Saints and Chiefs?
Well, I think the Saints are tough to beat in their building, John. I know that from being a player. John, you can tell you that's a really hard place to win. They found a way to win last week. I thought the Eagles had them on the ropes. The Eagles had a chance to win the football game. The Rams went in there earlier in the year and got run out of the building in a high-scoring game. These are the four top four scoring offenses in the league. That's not a mistake. 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the league in scoring are going to go into these games. They're all top 10 offenses. Only one defense is in the top 15. That's New Orleans defense. They're 14th in the league. Everybody else is 19th or higher. In fact, Kansas City's 31st in the league on defense. So when they talk about defenses winning championships, you're going to have to find a play to maybe help you win a championship like the Eagles did last year with Brandon Graham's strip sack of Tom Brady. It's going to be about offensive football and which one can go get it. I think it's a toss-up. I think all teams can win. It'll be important for the Rams to get off to a faster start than they did last time they played against New Orleans. They don't want to get behind 10, 14 points. New Orleans is really good at coming from behind, but they're also a great front-running team. But I think that the AFC game is a tremendous amount of fun, too. You got a young quarterback and the old veteran, maybe the best of all time, in Bray. This should be a great weekend of football with the four best teams really in the league for this year.
Dave, don't you find it kind of weird that, you know, as much as, you know, me being a defensive guy and talking about how defenses win championships and all that other good stuff, the best defenses aren't really even playing in the championship weekend?
No, it's true, Hugh. And when you look at it, scoring defense is, I think, where you got a point And New England is the number seven in the league in scoring defense. Everybody else is outside the top 10. In fact, 14th or higher. So, yeah, it's been more situational defense, maybe creating a play, something like that. Just like the play we talked about with the Brandon Graham strip sack in the Super Bowl a year ago, where there wasn't much defense on display in that Super Bowl last year, but it was a defensive player. A lot of people remember Brandon Graham coming in and getting the ball out so Brady couldn't find a way to win the game. So that's probably what you're looking at. And Kansas City has some pass rushers. All of them have pass rushers. Big loss, though, from an injury standpoint. Sheldon Rankin's getting hurt for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
A huge loss for them and their ability to maybe stop Todd Gurley in the run game.
Boy, it's amazing how the NFL has changed, and they wanted the big offensive plays, and they got that big offensive explosion. That's what everybody's looking at, and they got it in one season.
I know you're closing your eyes and thinking, okay, there's a defensive play out there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Dave, you're always welcome. Thanks for taking a few minutes. Thanks for getting up early. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you. Take care.
Yeah, it is Dave Archer from earlier today breaking it all down. And, of course, we'll have both games for you. The NFC Championship game at 2 o'clock coverage starting on Sunday, and then the AFC Championship game will follow in the back-to-back doubleheader on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, your home for Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. This hour of the program is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. And as we break down the NFC and AFC title games, your chance to break down and get $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
ROCK. R-O-C-K, ROCK, ROCK to 72881. Text ROCK, R-O-C-K, to 72881. Message data rates to apply. Do not text and drive. And 99thegame.com for details and rules and all that kind of stuff. ROCK, R-O-C-K, to 72881. That is the national signing bonus word of the hour. ROCK to 72881. Who's going to be the ROCK this weekend between these four teams? The top four teams. I saw a stat, and I misplaced it. Arthur, just to let you know, this is the first time in I don't know how many years, Hugh, we've had the top four seeds make it, that all four home teams won. It's been a few years.
Yeah, I remember hearing a stat about that, but you're exactly right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, all the top tier seeds. So yeah, it's been a wild ride though. And you look at the number one defenses and the better defense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
All sitting at home, sitting at the crib. So yeah. It's going to be – I still don't think it's going to be a shootout, though. I don't think it's still going to be a shootout. I think one thing that is still going to hold true in this playoff series, the last championship series, is that you're going to still have to be able to run the ball and run the ball effectively.
And right now, no team is running it quite like the L.A. Rams with Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson. C.J. Anderson was a forgotten man coming out of Denver. I mean, really good running back and just kind of a forgotten guy, and they have the best 1-2 punch now in the NFL at the
yeah.
moment.
I mean, you're talking about two running backs last week that ran for over 100 yards. You know what? Don't count out Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, though.
Don't count them out because
towards the end of that game, they ripped off a couple of big runs. It was just tough sledding for them. Man, hats off to Sean. Like, you can say what you want about the Saints and everything, but, dude, hats off to Sean Payton. That was a gutsy call on that 4th-and-1. There was a gutsy play throughout that whole game. And I know a lot of people can't, they refuse to give the Saints props in that situation. But, dude, that was some heck of a play call, and that was some heck of a football being played by the Saints last weekend.
And here's Arthur with all these stats here. First time since 2005 we've had the top four seeds make it to the conference title games, and first time since the AFL and NFL merged, which – was, if I'm not mistaken, 1970, that the top four highest scoring teams in the NFL are all in the Final Four in the conference title games. Unbelievable.
Yeah, man. It's it's gonna be awesome. And like I said, regardless of what happens this weekend, I'm gonna enjoy whomever comes to Atlanta immensely.
Gonna have some fun with you. We're doing a thing where if you tweet us at 929 the game, you can ask us anything. Daryl, Arthur, Wendy, me, Hugh. We prefer the kind of the non-sports stuff, but you can ask us a sports question too. We call it hashtag AM Twitter Up. Some of your questions have come in. You still have time during the break to get some more in, and we'll answer your questions next. Ought to be a little bit of fun because Arthur says there's some fun questions in there already. We'll do that.
The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship is coming Saturday, January 26th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Register for free now and you might win a grand. Sign up at 929thegame.com/Game Bowl. The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship from Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 The Game. All right, chance for you to ask us anything because I know that. You know, sometimes we get all wrapped up, Hugh, in sports. And
now you get all wrapped up in sports, John.
I do. I'm a big, pretty big sports fan, I will admit.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, though. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Little man, since I watched my first Super Bowl, my first baseball game.
Well, you're one of those guys, right?
I got hooked. Yeah, very first Super Bowl I watched on TV, I got hooked.
So you're one of those guys.
Yeah. Well, Joe Willie Namath was kind of cool back in the day, you know?
No, I get it. I get it. But, you know.
Broadway
but,
Joe.
Yeah, one of those.
Probably the only time I ever rooted for the Jets. Of course, that's the only Super Bowl Jets ever won, right? Did they win one with Ken O'Brien? I forget.
No, they did not.
No, they didn't. They got beat. That's right. Anyway, your chance to ask us anything that might be outside the realm of sports, and Arthur calls it AM Twitter Up, or hashtag AM Twitter Up. Get some interesting questions today there, Mr. Trish?
A few. Not as many as we had last week, but we're getting back in the swing of things on week two, starting with Eddie. At I Wish I Was Smart Too. He asked a question of you guys. Should I get hair plugs?
You know what's funny, Eddie? You should. I mean, if I was going to do it, then yes. But the thing that you have to realize is I think they pull from the nape of your neck, and it looks real painful. Because I saw somebody who did that. That's the thing to do now. And well, I saw somebody that did it, but they pull from the back of your neck, man, and that don't look like that's going to leave like a big old, like, cherry on the back of your neck.
Yeah, I just, you know, when I had it done, I did have this procedure done, there are two things. It is a little bit painful. I mean, they do cut a chunk of your scalp out of the back of your, right below, like, if you put your finger where that, you where that little, you know, in your skull, that little kind of point is back there, right below that. Between that and your nap, that's where they take a chunk of it out, and then they separate it piece by piece. One thing you need to know is it takes forever. You're
so they
in the
take
chair.
A meat. They take some meat out the back of your neck.
Yep.
To put. Hey, no, I'm cool.
Yeah, and it takes about 12 hours. And what really kind of hurts is that they have to keep shooting you in your scalp with the Novocaine because you know they're poking holes in your scalp because they're doing 12,000 or something. And the other thing you got to keep. By the way, it worked because I was almost bald when I had it done 15 years ago, and it's still there. I will say this: it's pricey. At that time, I think it was $10,000, and it might be $10,000 to $15,000 to get it done.
I think it's probably a little bit cheaper now because I see signs on the way to work where they talking about $1. Well, yeah, that, I guess if you add off of all
that's
the dollars,
$1 for the graph, though. Yeah. That's per graph.
Yeah,
that's
I guess.
Per,
hey,
per
when strand. You when you do the math, I guess it is kind of expensive.
All right,
but if you feel like it, do it. If it makes you feel better, do it.
That just sounds too painful for me. I'll stay
cool.
Bald. Thank you
bald.
Very much. At Jared_Andrews asked the question, since we've talked about a lot of food today, Big Mac or Whopper?
Big Mac
Whopper
or Whopper?
The other day. Yeah, I would probably say Whopper.
Yeah, I'd go Whopper.
Why? Is it because one you can get a little fresher than the other?
No, it's just, Big Macs always, and I like them, they're tasty, but Hugh, I always looked at a Big Mac with all that bread and all that stuff, and I always looked at Big Mac and said, like 10,000 calories. I mean, it always struck me.
I mean,
me,
it's
you know,
like it's really pick your poison, John. It's about taste because either one of them, it's really not that great for you. Like usually, but the difference is, for me, if I'm gonna eat fast food, I would rather go to McDonald's. No, excuse me, I would rather go to Burger King because it is a grilled burger. It is a grilled burger as opposed to being cooked in grease, and I can get onion rings, which are better than French fries. Like fried food is not good. It's especially when you're trying to diet, but if you're gonna go and if you're gonna eat fast food, it's better to go to McDonald's. I did it again. It's better to go to Burger King, to me, yeah, as opposed to McDonald's because they don't. It's a broiled burger as opposed to a fried burger.
Well, I will say this: anybody ever read the George Foreman story when he went from? Remember George Foreman when he was first boxing? He was like super cut, and then he became Fat George, and when he was a preacher. And the story in Sports Illustrated was he would take the kids when he was being, in his downtime between his boxing careers and drop them off at whatever. He would go to McDonald's. He would eat 12 Big Macs.
Yeah.
12.
In one sitting?
In one sitting.
No, ever since that movie Supersize Me, when the dude just ate Burger King and all that stuff forever. Yeah, that, like, again, Burger King, excuse me, again, McDonald's I get them mixed up, and I don't know why, because they're two different entities. But yeah, McDonald's, you can put on a few pounds eating that McDonald's food.
You know, it's funny, John mentioned 12 and food. He still owes someone 12 tacos.
I was literally about to bring that up. Oh, I'm like, I can't eat 12 Big Macs, but I can eat 12 tacos.
Just deliver on the bet, John. That's all you got to do. From at P. Wilds 121, what the hell was going on with Adam Gase yesterday?
Nobody knows. I mean, man.
That was weird.
It was weird.
That was really weird. That was really, really weird. I mean, his eyes were just darting all over the place. And I don't know, maybe he has a condition or something. I don't know. I know we were making light of it this morning, but I don't recall ever seeing him look like he looked. And to see him look like that, it kind of makes you, first of all, you're concerned about him. And second of all, you're like, if he's nothing's wrong with him, then what the hell were you on right. that made you do that?
I mean, he looked like he was Jack Nicholson in The Shining, you know, busting his head through the door. Honey, I'm home. I mean, it was weird.
Yeah, he became an instant meme, to say the least. Andrew Holloway at TurfGuy87 asked another food question. What's on your pizza?
Wendy, what's on your pizza?
Anything but pineapple or anchovies. Pepperoni, cheese. I like plain cheese sometimes.
I like, if I'm going to order pizza, I'm going to order barbecue chicken pizza.
Darryl, what's on your pizza when you get?
Just a cheese pizza.
Just cheese pizza?
Yeah.
All right, Arthur, what's on yours?
Beef and pepperoni.
Beef and pepperoni? I like the supreme kind of stuff, you know? I like it all.
But it has to be thin crust on my end. I'm not a thick guy.
Ooh, give me that stuffed crust.
Yeah, cheese. But I do like that. You got to admit, Hugh, that Chicago deep dish
is banging.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
Too much bread. Hey, at Adrian X. Gibson wants two answers from you guys. One, are you going to see the movie Glass this weekend?
No. Nope.
It's an M. Night Shyamalan?
Shyamalan.
Jamalama Ding Dong.
And two, he asks, I know it's not a traditional sport, but what are your thoughts on the Atlanta Reign being one of the newest members of the Overwatch League this year? Now, I had to look that up because I had never heard of this particular team, but it has something to do with exports.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I figured when you said Overwatch. I know the Hawks have a team now, right? I mean,
yes, they do.
Yeah, we had the general manager on with us. And,
oh, you're talking about the video game.
Right, and we had the guys from, you know, up north there who came in when they were doing their big event down there. I have to defer to you. You're the gamer.
I don't have a problem. I don't play Overwatch. Overwatch is not the game that I'm going to sit there and play for hours at a time. I'm a Destiny guy. I've been playing Spider-Man a little bit, the new Spider-Man, but I've been playing Destiny. But no, I'm definitely not an Overwatch.
You know, as to the movie Glass, my only problem is M. Night Shyamalan is, I've never, ever since, you know, Sixth Sense, where I, how many people
Last Airbender.
Yeah.
He screwed up a lot
Last
of movies.
Airbender or Signs, you know, he screwed up a lot of movies. And everybody who watched Sixth Sense, come on, who didn't figure it out at some point during the film? I mean, everybody figured out the big twist at some point during the movie. It wasn't like it was a shock ending. We all went, well, yeah, dude's dead. I mean, you figured it out. When people weren't responding to you, you know, when he's sitting at dinner with his wife and she's like not paying attention to him, you know, oh, well, she's not paying attention because he dead. Okay, I get it. I don't know. I mean,
no, the one where he died, what was it? The one that he made that was the one that put him on. Was that the I See Dead People?
Yeah,
was that the I See Dead People?
That's
the I See Dead People because he shot it in Philly. He shoots mostly all his movies in Philadelphia. Hmm. And I remember, what was the one, the last one he shot? Because he's putting two movies into one. And that's the thing where he's talking about how people are superheroes and things. I'm not going to go watch it. I'm not going to the movies to see it. Now, I will watch it on the Fire Stick whenever somebody goes in there and does what they do, whatever they do. You know,
I'm
not judging you for, but hurry up and get it done.
I will give credit to the actor, though.
We can check it out.
James McAvoy started doing all these, like, period pieces, like, mm-hmm. 18th century English movies, you know, and suddenly he did that one Split. Now he's doing this one Glass.
That's what it was. That was the movie, Split, that M. Night Shyamalan did. And I guess it did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to incorporate all these two movies into one another. So, yeah.
All right, Brandon in Lindale at Crazy Keeb wants you guys to put on your honest hat. Huh. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you miss Squid Billy?
This is typical Brandon and Lindale. Well, yeah, but Bo's doing the afternoon show. We don't miss him. We see him all the time. I saw him yesterday.
Tell the truth.
Well, I see Bo all the time.
Yeah. I see him at the gym.
So Brandon's trying to start some mess.
Yeah, a little bit. Little pistol please. Starter.
You guys know Brandon?
That's his homeboy, though.
Little pot
that's
stir.
Yeah, that is his homie.
Okay. Little pot stir. I can't really say nothing bad about Brandon. Brandon gave me my first Yeti cup.
Plus he's
that
an
I
Alabama
still
fan,
have.
So
he's now.
I don't have a problem with him being Alabama. Yeah. Eddie bought his wife a nice swanky truck a little while ago.
They built a big house up in Rome.
Oh, okay. Brandon, quit trying to cause drama for the morning show. Hey, Mr. Clean and Lean at X-Man Will wants to know another movie question. Who wins in a battle of John Wick versus Jason Bourne?
Well, if Jason Bourne could remember who he is, he might have a chance.
Well, yeah, because Jason Bourne, I would say Jason Bourne is more adept to hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
John Wick couldn't see that smoke.
But Keanu Reeves is a weapon specialist, and he had shown some hand-to-hand combat skills in the last John Wick movie. I'm still going with Jason Bourne with this one.
Yeah, right.
But Jason Bourne, like, yeah.
If he's playing Neo, maybe that's a different story.
And our final question today comes from Roy Sunday at R Sunday 3931. Hindsight being 2020, how smart was it for the Falcons to draft a wide receiver instead of an offensive lineman with their first pick last year?
Calvin Ridley. I mean, up for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, you don't know what you're getting with.
He made the all-rookie team. So, I mean, that's a positive.
Yeah. First team all-rookie.
Don't get all upset. You said it. They can ask anything.
I know. But see, the problem with drafting offensive linemen is it's such a crapshoot. You know, it just is.
See you next time.
And I love Calvin Ridley, so that's why I kind of got defensive, because I think you just got to catch better. You got to hold on to the ball, Calvin. We'll venture into that area of the show known as the Wendy Zone next. For John and you on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
1-3, the only team that I predicted correctly was the Rams, and everything else was wrong. And then we'll go to the people who went 2-2, and that would be Hugh and AT. Hugh correctly predicting the Chiefs and the Patriots were going to win. Arthur correctly predicting the Rams and the Saints would win. Next in line, John Fricky, congratulations. You went 3-1 correctly predicting the Chiefs, Rams, and Patriots would win. The only one you got wrong there was the Eagles. And a big congratulations to Daryl, who was the only person in the room to pick all the home teams. You went a solid 4-0 this weekend, my friend, in
good
our
job.
Pick four.
You know segment. You know why he went 4-0? Because he was sitting out there looking at the ocean. His brain was calm.
He got his mind right.
There you go.
No, I was actually asleep when I saw that text message, and I was like, oh, shoot, I have to make picks.
Early.
Remember, I sent it. I think y'all's show was almost over.
Yeah. It was very early in the morning.
Yeah, it was very early for me. I was asleep. I was like, oh, shoot, I didn't send picks.
I know.
I would have gone with the ocean part, though.
No. I can't lie.
I had those teams all along, and I just knew that they were going to win. I wouldn't have even given any kind of
excuse. Man, I got to keep it real, man. I'm sorry.
Well, congratulations, Daryl. You went 4-0.
Yeah, but I think I messed up the week before, didn't I?
You went 1-3.
Yes. Yeah,
so
see?
This kind of balances it out.
Yeah,
so,
no, I mean,
so what are the overall standings then?
So hold on, let me do the quick math. Daryl is now 5, and make sure you know your records, because I'm going to do the quick math on this. So Daryl, you moved to 5-3. I moved to 2-6. That's awesome. Arthur, you moved to 4-4. Hugh, you moved to 4-4. John, you moved to 6-2.
Oh, wow.
Way to go,
John is in the lead.
Yeah, there you go.
Daryl, and then AT and Hugh are tied. And you know what? I'm consistent.
It is what it is.
I'll take last place.
It's only one person in here that's happy about their standing. Yeah. And that would be John Freak.
It's because he has fewer games to pick.
It's the only time, John, I think
John,
all season.
That would be John Freak.
I think he led very early in our regular season during pick 6, then it was kind of a wash because you started going more with your heart instead of your head. You took the one.
Yeah, he trying to hit. That's him not trying to hit.
That's
that
what's going to mess him up.
Just let him have this moment. He's on top where he wants to be, and he's happy.
But when you but if you wanted to add the overall numbers, regular season and playoffs. He's still down behind me.
AT, it's a new season.
That's what you said. It's a new season.
Oh, you're all turning on me, huh?
No, we said new season.
Go get Squidbilly then.
You pressed your bet. I mean, you know, you took your win and you walked away, and now you want it. Now you don't want the win from early. Now, okay.
No, that's all right.
You don't get no regular season trophy, brother.
I'll get my participation trophy for myself.
I know he's been fascinated with this story all morning, and I brought it up earlier this morning at the 640 TWZ, but if you missed it, the Clemson Tigers were at the White House last night to celebrate their national championship win, but because of the government shutdown, there was no one there to prepare a meal, so instead President Trump said he initially thought he could have First Lady make some salad, so he was joking there, but actually brought in a whole fast food buffet that consisted of 48 Big Macs, 42 Filet-O-Fish, 54 Quarter Pounders, 48 6-Piece Nuggets, 32 Side Salads, 52 Chicken Go Wraps, 30 Junior Cheeseburger Deluxes, and 30 Whoppers. And what else, Hugh?
And many, many fries.
And where are you getting that from, the many, many fries?
No, that's what the president said. He said he had many, many fries. You got these burgers and many, many fries.
Many, many fries, and also Domino's Pizza on some fine china in the White House.
That's the thing that has my mind kind of blown throughout this story. And I know people, like, listen, I'm whatever
politics
way you
out.
Feel.
Yeah, politics out.
Yeah, whichever way you feel, I am not going to argue that because that's your personal preference. I just think it's funny, being a caveman myself, that these kids got dressed up and put on suits to go to the White House to get burgers served to them and French fries, cold French fries with the presidential seal on fine china that foreign dignitaries have eaten on. And then on top of that, when I saw a little bit of the video, now again, taking politics out of it, but to see him sit there and talk about and try to explain to kids who just won a championship why they need to walk. Why, first of all, why you eating cheeseburgers and hamburgers and pizza? He explains that to them and then goes into this little diatribe about why we need the wall up and everything like that. Like that. That to me is fascinating. They don't care. I mean, as much as you think they do, they just won the championship. They are talking about football. They are happy to be at the White House. And yeah, if you're at the White House and you serve me a burger, I'm gonna eat it because I'm eating a cheeseburger at the White House. So yeah, but
you're
I just,
in the White House.
Yeah.
It's a historic building.
Yes, and
no one gets to go really
on historic china.
On historic china
that's probably been there since like the 15th president been there.
But we did base our Twitter poll off of the fast food choices that were offered to the Clemson Tiger players. So if you go to @929thegame. On Twitter, which one would you load up on? Now, the choices were selected from the four choices that they were offered at the White House. So you have McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, and Domino's. And right now, Wendy's is leading at 44%, Domino's at 23%, 18% say McDonald's, and 15% say Burger King.
You know, I got to give Domino's another chance. I probably have not had Domino's in 30 years.
It's changed.
Because when
a lot.
You know, in 30 years ago when we were getting Domino's, it was cardboard with paste on it. Okay. It was terrible.
Yeah, Domino's has changed a lot there, brother.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah, their cheese was the one that changed for me. For some reason, I just never agreed with it. And like the last 5 years or so, I like Domino's a whole lot better, but Pizza Hut is still my favorite.
Yeah, in the hierarchy of pizzas that go, it used to be Papa John's, then it was Domino's. But then it was Pizza Hut. But now it's Domino's, Pizza Hut.
I gotta give Domino's
and
another crack.
That's it. That's it. Because we ain't allowed to eat at Papa John's anymore. Ain't allowed to go to Papa John's.
I was never a huge Papa John's fan. I mean, Little Caesars is okay.
The garlic dipping sauce is my jam.
We ain't allowed to go to
Papa
John's anymore.
Yeah, but Papa John's was, I just was
the
never
garlic
my favorite.
Dipping sauce.
I mean, no, it was great. And you know what? And you know, I stand with my peeps on this one. Everybody's not going. I'm just like, I'm not going.
I'm fine with really any pizza. If it's food, essentially, and it's bad for you, I'll eat it.
No, pizza's good. We just don't eat Papa John's no more.
I
pretty much stay with Johnny's.
Go Big Papa.
I'm a Johnny's guy.
Johnny, why you want to talk about pizza that nobody else is talking about?
Wait a second.
We're talking about chain eating pizza.
Marco's pizza.
That's still
pretty,
a chain.
I know.
You're good.
Yeah, Gloria
John's
says she likes
about
Marco's.
Pizza that probably only him and like 10,000 people have eaten in Atlanta.
No, you know, there's like
you
how
tripping.
Many Johnny's there are.
Johnny's is very good. I had Johnny's.
Is that the one? No, I'm thinking Godfather's. Now, Godfather's got some.
That's
good
who John
pizza.
Stole from.
Oh, that.
No, didn't steal from anybody.
And then I had Blue Moon.
I mean, the only thing I stole was Canadian bacon.
We are all. This is Whitney's segment. Give her back her segment, y'all.
Now I'm hungry, so I appreciate you. I'm still waiting for those 12 tacos, John. Well, anyways, Antonio Brown, because I'm hungry. Antonio Brown's still under contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he certainly appears ready for a change, at least if you look on his Twitter account. Just 2 days after Steelers owner Art Rooney II told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that it would be, quote, a hard to envision, end quote, Brown being at Steelers training camp this year. The star receiver made a really curious change to his Twitter bio, and it was pointed out by one person who noticed it first. It initially said Pittsburgh Steelers All-Pro wide receiver. Now it just says All-Pro wide receiver. So Antonio Brown removing Pittsburgh Steelers from his Twitter bio. Read into that what you want.
Well, remember the Julio.
And you know we will.
Yeah, the Julio thing. We do. You know, right? That's what we do.
I think it's a little different than the Julio.
Yeah, a little different, but Chargers took San Diego off their Charger logo 3 or 4 years before they moved. Just saying. All of a sudden, they were just Chargers. And now nobody cares. So there you go. Careful what you get rid of. Actually, it's John Chuckery today, right? John Chuckery and John Michael. Oh, that ought to be a fun show. John Michaels and John Chuckery, top of the hour. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.